Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with
Jason Shear.
And this is take 40 for us tonight. We have the giggles. Hopefully we get through this. We are here to do our long-awaited football mailbag.
Bag of balls, baby. Football bag of balls, baby. That doesn't sound good.
Wow, you're feisty tonight. I'm not sure we're going to get through this without giggling and laughing and being inappropriate.
Speak for yourself. I'm very appropriate.
You're so serious all the time, right?
Gang.
We're very excited. We had our Starbucks sponsor this evening by our friend Matt, who out of the blue decided to send us some Starbee's money. So thank you so much for supporting our Starbucks habit. We appreciate you.
It's triple stars day. Big day in the Shear household. I'm now up to 1,300 stars.
You have way too many.
Well, no, I'm saving them for Vegas because it's like $9 a coffee there.
And then such a ripoff in the casino.
I'm going to go to the casino and they're going to be like, we don't use stars. And then I'm going to throw a fit and then I'm going to get tased, right? But I'm going to get arrested. But then Michael Leake's going to raise the bail money by putting it all in black. He's going to bail me out. I'm going to repay him. Then we're going to put in a jackpot in a slot machine, and then we're going to become millionaires. We're going to put on Arizona to win the Pac-12 championship, and then there you go, the end.
Wow, that was all just off the top of your brain. I've never even heard that before.
Typical day.
Is somebody going to get locked on the roof with a mattress?
No, why would I do that, Shelby?
Why would and a tiger? Is a tiger involved in Mike Tyson, too?
I'd mess Mike Tyson up.
A little Asian guy jumping out of the back of a trunk.
Full races.
It's clearly not a plot of a movie. We're coming up with this on our own, right?
I don't get hungover.
You don't get hungover. Okay. Yeah. You know what? That's actually true. Before we actually do the mailbag, you guys should know, like, the only person on earth who's ever been able to get Jason marginally drunk is Michael Leake, because he doesn't drink a lot, and when he does, he kind of is like a champion.
Yeah.
A champion.
I don't really like drinking. It's expensive. It doesn't really do anything. I like to partake in other avenues.
Oh, okay.
Like prostitution.
I thought you were going to say titty bar, but okay.
Whoa, okay.
You know my rule about that, so I don't have a problem with that. We're going to start now. I hope everyone's listened to this point because we're super professional. We're going to start with N Dogger.
One time I went to a strip club with Cody. On his bachelor, I gotta tell this story.
Okay, fine, tell. Okay, bachelor story.
I told you this story before, and Cody had never been to a strip club. I said, you know, let's just go to one.
You gotta go to one.
And we went to the Hustler one, and I got a dance from a nice woman who proceeded.
A lady of the pole.
Yeah, who, if you remember, I think I told you this, proceeded to tell me for the entirety of the dance how much she hated Jewish people.
Oh, dear.
And it was the most
rough
I
crowd.
Said, well, ma'am, I hope you don't plan on getting much of a tip. A, this dance isn't great. And B, I might be one of them.
You might want to know your audience before you go off on somebody else. Well, did Cody enjoy himself?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Really? It was one of those nights?
Yeah, Cody drinks frozen foo-foo drinks.
He does like girl drinks. But I mean, I like girl drinks, but...
I think there's a picture of us that weekend where he's drinking, like, a pink martini in a bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds like Cody. Yeah. Also, at your bachelor party, one of our friends, Andy, wound up making a stripper cry.
Yep.
Because she just started telling him her life experiences.
And he kind of, like, he cared. And he pretty nobody looked like, over and she was hysterically crying.
Hysterically crying.
And we left. That's when we left.
Oh, memories. Vegas is crazy. Anyway, I'm going to read our first question now.
And now when we have fun in Vegas, it's usually with the family and involves like M&M World. How quickly things
like
change.
Pools and M&M World and
hey, let's go to
roller coasters.
I'm gonna go to Carbone without Aurora though.
Yeah, Aurora's gonna cry.
She just flipped me
if
out.
Anybody can get us into Carbone, let us know because we've been trying for
just
a long time.
Just me and I'll send pictures to Aurora.
I feel like it's overrated, but whatever. N Dogger asks, we know what we have in T-Mac. But what is our confidence level in the rest of the receiver room right now?
I'm confident.
Super confident?
Well, I mean, Jacob Cowing is gone, obviously. We know we have in T-Mac. I just think that, look, I could be wrong. I don't know how this Bobby Wade's going to operate. But I'm under the assumption that this coaching staff is going to rotate at wide receiver a little bit more. And I think Kevin Green, Malachi Riley, guys like that, I think are going to have bigger years than they did under the previous coaching staff. And it's not like I'm not necessarily dissing. I think Kevin Cummings was obviously an awesome position coach and great guy and all that. But I just think that, you know, that was a Jed Fish decision from what I understood. He always went to the NFL model. He always say we're in the NFL. Which was always funny, but we don't rotate wide receivers that much. But you have Kevin Green, you have Montana coming back, AJ Jones is super talented, Malachi Riley is talented. We don't know, you know, how good Brandon Phelps may be. There's guys, right? Like there's plenty of guys, there's plenty of depth. I don't think Arizona will add another wide receiver. I could be wrong, but it feels a situation where, you know, my gut is now, unless they can get a super elite guy, they're probably pretty okay with that wide receiver room. I like it. I mean, you have a star. You don't need multiple stars. It's great to have multiple stars like a T-Mac and Cowing, but it's actually relatively
kind of rare.
Arizona should have one of the better wide receiver rooms in the Big 12.
Thank you for that compelling answer, Jason Shear. We appreciate you. Joe Doggy, another dog name. I hope this is this a theme tonight? Joe Doggy asked, the big question I have you, Senor Jason, established your lines of communication yet with the new staff?
Yeah, I mean, so...
I mean, you got one earlier today, too.
Yeah, there's multiple guys. I'm not giving all the details away, but yeah, it started. I think what people have to realize is there's a growing period, a trust period that you have to go through. It's not like, hey, it's your first day on the job. Tell me all the recruits you like, when they're going to be... Like, you got to build a relationship. People have to know, the coaches have to know they trust you. I've been lucky to do that the last two coaching staffs. There's also been guys where I have to go through other people, right? Like Rich Rod took me a little bit, and eventually I went through Dudek and all that.
Oh, I miss Dudek. He's
right,
a good
and
guy.
Then you know Matt Doherty was a great connection for questions or whatever. And you know, there's guys I don't like giving away, but usually there's multiple people. And so far my interactions with members of the coaching staff I'm not naming have been very good. No complaints so far.
And I can confirm those because I have heard them and or seen those communications. So thank you. Great question. NM Wildcat, I'm assuming that's New Mexico. NM Wildcat, I'm not very familiar with the type of offense Dino Barbo runs. Will it be similar to the one that he who shall not be named ran?
Yeah, I don't know why I put Barber.
That's Baber, right?
Yeah, it auto-corrected.
Okay, to be fair, guys,
it
does say Barber on here, and I should have known better.
That's a sick name, though.
Dino Barber. Dino Baber.
I'm not completely sure what offense Dino Babers is going to run. I would be surprised if it's RPO, heavy RPO. That just doesn't really work with Noah Fafita. Could you run it and be successful? Yeah. I suppose. But it would be a surprise to me overall. I think it'll look more pro style with maybe some spread elements. I would assume it'll look similar to kind of what Brennan ran at San Jose State. I know that wasn't Babers, but overall, I just think it's a situation where Babers is going to look at the strengths of the team and kind of go from there. I'm not sure that we can look at Syracuse or anything like that and say this is the exact offense that they're going to run. I just think that there's overall, it's gonna play to the strengths of guys on the team, but I don't think it's gonna be RPO. I don't know if Fish runs a very complicated offense. There were complaints early on about how complicated it is. When he says it's an NFL style offense, he probably wasn't lying, to the point where it's probably more complicated than it needed to be at times. I think Babers will run a simpler offense, but I don't think it'll be Jed's offense, and I don't think it'll be an RPO. I don't know for sure, but I think it'll be kind of an offense that plays to the strengths of his players, and it's not going to be an air raid. It's going to be probably more pro oriented.
Yes. Also, side note: isn't the spring game scheduled for April
27th? April 27th. Spring practice doesn't start until March 27th.
Right. So this is all being answered right now, just based off of. Yeah, not seeing anybody.
I haven't seen the playbook. I have no idea.
Yeah, they haven't shown. They have. You haven't earned the trust yet for them to show you the playbook yet.
But if you want to, my email.
Thank you for the question, and I'm Wildcat. So next one, Arizona AZ Fanatic. What are we going to run offensively and defensively? Any whispers? Like, we kind of just answered that question a little bit.
Offensively, we answered. Defensively, Akeen is telling people to be pretty much the same as last year. I would expect a lot of dollar package. That's where the strength of defense is,
yeah.
With the safeties and nickels and all that. But I would expect it to look very, very similar to what it did last season. The one thing I am curious is how much rotation. Nansen liked to rotate a lot.
A lot.
I'm not sure if Akeena will be like that. Now, they didn't rotate much on the back end. It was mostly on the defensive line. Maybe they are like that. I don't know. But it'll look similar to kind of what they ran last year.
That's probably a good thing. I mean, I isn't rotating the defensive line just to kind of preserve bodies? Like, you didn't have anyone that could play the whole game. So,
right.
And different packages just mean different personnel. All right. RJM23 asks, how do you think the staff will be at recruiting?
I know people are concerned about it, and I get it. I don't think it'll be bad. Like, these guys, Josh Oglesby has been aggressive on the trail. Akeena has been aggressive on the trail in Texas. I think other guys, a lot, Zoe Carter has been super aggressive. That Joe Somalo is going to recruit Polynesian. Chip Viney is going to get in there eventually. I think people are looking at, like, why aren't there 300 offers? Well, for starters, you're recruiting at a different level now, right? You're not offering the same players. You're not saying, yeah, we really like this guy for San Jose State. We have to offer him for Arizona. Well, not necessarily. You might have liked him for San Jose State, but you don't like him for Arizona. It's only March, though. The idea that Arizona is not aggressively offering 400 guys, people have different philosophies and all that. I like the way that this staff is built. There's a couple coaches that I have questions about, not necessarily in a bad way. I just don't know them as well. But I like what I have seen so far. I don't think there's any super lower level offers. And I like the way, like, Zoe Carter offered a 5-star running back yesterday. Are they going to get him? Probably not, but it shows that at least they're not shying away from recruiting bigger name guys. And I know that that was part of the conversation on the board, but I don't get that vibe. I don't get the vibe that they're shying away and they're just going to settle for a bunch of 2 and 3 stars. That's not what I think is going to happen at all. And that goes against the philosophy that I believe the coaching staff has. They're going to offer guys that they believe are good enough to play at Arizona and kind of go from there.
Very curated, it seems like. Targeted.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jed Fish, besides this past season, he didn't do a very good job, in my opinion, this past season, for whatever reason, we can argue, but a lot of times their strategy was, we're going to offer a shitload of guys early in the process and then kind of move on from there and figure it out later. And some coaches are saying, no, we're going to evaluate and then offer it when that comes. And again, like I also said this, and this might be controversial, the day of the drop dead killer recruiters, to me, are gone, because a lot of it has to do with NIL now.
Yep.
You're only as good as your budget. So that's also kind of a situation as well.
Okay. How many, person who asked this question, AZ Jangle. AZ Jangle asks, how many CBs and DEs are we looking to land before fall camp?
Hard to say. You know, I think that'll be assessed after spring. I would assume that Arizona wants to add. And again, that also depends if Takario Davis comes back.
Takario!
Like, if he comes back, then all of a sudden you're okay with Takario. And I would assume multiple, you know, probably two of each. I could even see three, you know, three corners. It depends on the depth. It depends on the freshmen, the younger guys at corner as well. You brought in some corners. It's... You take a look at the roster now, for instance, Shelby, and you take a look at the cornerbacks overall. You know, if Takario comes back, you're much better safe. But, like, does G7 make that jump? Emmanuel Carnley, does he make that jump? How good is Jonna Price, right? Like, is he going to be good? Those are the questions. But to me, you probably need, like, three corners is probably what I would add. And, again, the corner, Kilbrew from Georgia, is he good? But I'd probably add 2-3 corners and then probably another defensive end or two. But again, you're not going to add dead weight either. Like, you got to make sure that these guys are good.
Curated. Sorry, that word is on my brain. I used it several times today because I was working with a videographer for B-roll. And I kept asking for curated B-roll. And he just kept sending me the entire raw footage that he has, which is like hundreds of hours. So if that word comes up again, sorry. SKCAT81 or SCAT81? Is Big Jonah moving back to RG, or does Magnuson show he can hold down the starting RG spot and then Jonah may be considered for either OT spots? Boom!
A lot of that, again, depends on how good certain guys are. Like, you know, does the staff like Joe Borjan? Do they like, you know, does Leif move to back to where he is? How good is Deuced? You know, if Deuced is good, he's probably going to start at left tackle. So now you have Deuced, Moy, Baker, Polito, and Savanea.
Great lineup.
You know, at right tackle. That would be my guess as to what we see now. I absolutely could see a situation where he moves to right tackle and Deuced plays left tackle. But that remains, you know, that's another TBD situation. But I feel very good about Arizona's offensive line. I think it's well coached. I think the talent is very clearly there. There's some depth. I like Ryan Stewart, the guy they brought in. They obviously are very high on him to bring him in for depth reasons. JT Han, Leif, there's depth overall in the offensive line. That's the one position, or one of the positions, where I really don't worry about for this upcoming
season. How refreshing is that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Phoenix WCAT18, any players that you're looking for a breakout season?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a loaded question.
Loaded question, a little too early.
It's probably a little...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Too early, you know, overall. It wouldn't surprise me if Ty Ty had a really nice season. It wouldn't surprise me if Dominic Lalesio put together a nice season as well. You know, Kamuela could have a nice season. Sua is a guy that I have my eye on as well. Yeah, I mean, there's multiple dudes, right? Like, it's just, you know, it's Speedy Luke. If he's going to have a year, this would be a year. Genesis Smith, now that he's, you know, I assume he's going to be playing more this season, even with Dalton and all that. Dorian Thomas is a tight end that the previous coaching staff absolutely loved. I thought he would go to Washington. He actually decided not to. Any of the receivers, you know, there's just multiple guys that I could answer that question with, which is a good thing, obviously.
You might have a better answer after you start seeing them. Yes. And or, you know, spring game. Tommy Lloyd, I'm assuming not the real Tommy Lloyd.
Tommy Lloyd.
It is Tommy Lloyd. Okay. Tommy Lloyd asks, any transfers you're currently recruiting, do you expect any UCLA or more SJSU players to come?
Yeah. You know, Atoya at San Jose State is still a guy that I would keep an eye on. That's a guy where, you know, he had to go back to school for a few reasons. He was in the portal and then he was out of it real quick. There's a reason for that. You know, there's some defensive backs I kind of have my eye on. Amir Hall out of Albany went in the portal a few days ago. He's definitely a guy that's really good that I would keep an eye on. Ricky Johnson is another one from UNLV that went in the portal. He's another one I would keep a close eye on. You know, he was pretty solid at UNLV. Lance Canelli at Stanford is a defensive end that went to Mission Viejo. Actually has a connection to Arizona because Colin Carroll was on the strength staff as well. I believe San Jose State, Joe Sumalo, offered him.
Isn't it Colin?
No, it's Colin.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Colin.
Colin Carroll.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I've just never heard it sound like that before.
Don't ever correct me again, Shelby.
Sorry.
That was on the staff, so he's another guy. So those are three that have come up, and I'm sure there's more. Look, guys, like I've said this a lot, the spring portal is going to be a joke. Like, I fully expect guys from all over the country to enter the portal once teams decide what they need and start making offers and all that. It's going to be a crazy two-week period.
Well, I'm going to skip the next question because we're talking about this, and I'll go back. Well, it is the next question.
Yeah, NC Cat.
NC Cat, how much attrition do you assign to the upcoming portal window?
Sure. I mean, there's risk, guys. Like, there's risk on Arizona. There's risk on other schools. Yeah, like. Do I think that everyone's going to dip after spring football? No. Do I think a couple guys are going to enter the portal? Yeah, and I think a couple guys are going to enter the portal at every school in the country. That's just the way it's going to be. Dudes are going to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe there's two running backs ahead of me, and I'm not going to get as many carries. I'm tired of it. I'm going to the portal. Or, okay, well, now there's three receivers ahead of me, and nothing's changed. I'm going to the portal. Or I'm an offensive lineman. The new coaching staff doesn't like me any better than the last coaching staff does. I'm out. It's just natural. That's what's going to happen. I wouldn't freak out about it because it's happening at every school in the country.
Boom. Okay. UACAT09, what is the staff doing in terms of Arizona recruiting and building in-state relationships?
Remember, after Brendan was hired, it was a dead period pretty quickly. So he can't, like, and they went out to in-state schools pretty aggressively. Bobby Wade has nice connections to lots of them. Brent Brennan made local visits. They're going to still visit. I'd assume they're going to hold the conference calls and all that, and that's just kind of going to be the situation. They're going to do what most coaches do. Sumlin was lazy, and I think the reason that people ask that is because it always goes back to Kevin Sumlin, but this isn't a Sumlin situation. Like, he's going to do what every coach does. You reach out to high school. You say, hey, my spring practice is open. Whenever you want to come and talk to me during spring ball and bring your players, go for it. We have an open door policy, and I'll visit you in your school, and we'll make phone calls, and we'll have conference calls with Brandon Sanders, etc. They're going to do all that stuff.
Nice. Okay. I'm surprised you have this question in here, but we love Newport Cat. Newport Cat asks, were you surprised at how Fish left?
Slightly, but looking back at it, I shouldn't have been. A lot of people warned me that he was that type of dude, and he was telling people certain things without going into too much detail again, and I believed what he was telling those people close to him, beyond Arizona employment, friends, people, neighbors, boosters, and all that. I took him at his word, and his word wasn't worth much at the time, so that aspect, I guess, surprised me, but looking back on it, when people told me certain things when he was hired, that's my fault that I was surprised. We'll just say that.
How very generously worded review. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right, Aceman95, but not the ace, right? If you had to guess, who will the top newcomers be on the offense and defense?
Ja'Cory, running back. I think he's going to be awesome. I think Conley's going to be good too, but Ja'Cory's, at least this is actually a really easy answer. The two San Jose State kids. I think Trey Smith at defensive end is awesome. I love Russell Davis. I think he's going to be good at Washington. I think he's got nice ceiling. I think Trey Smith right now is a better player at this moment, which isn't a bad thing. For Russell Davis, I mean, I'm not insulting him. I want to make that clear. But Trey Smith is a guy who's going to come in and contribute immediately. And I think that on offense, Ja'Cory is the easy answer. I would expect those guys both to have very nice seasons.
All right. Our buddy Flag Cat asks, of the positions we're reloading, which are the greatest concern?
They're two very easy, obvious ones. Number one is corner.
Yep.
You know, we already talked about that. Number two is linebacker. Mm-hmm. If Justin Flo is not going to cut it again, I think behind Jacob Manu, there's just not a lot of proven experience. I would like to see Arizona go out and add a veteran linebacker that can play a little bit. And even if he's not like a superstar, it's a guy that at least you know can produce at some level. Because the reality is, we don't know if Flo is going to produce. I mean,
as much as I love you.
Right. We don't know how good Kamala is going to be in extended snaps. We don't know what Sua is going to be. There's Tay Brown. Like, we don't know. The linebacker position overall is someone that I would like to see Arizona add some depth to.
It's a big question mark.
Yeah.
Okay. CP King, when I looked at that, like, side glance at first, I thought that was it was an O. I thought it was like Koki. CP King, are we expecting spring to be all about fundamentals, or will we see some implementation of new stuff?
Oh no, you have to implement stuff.
Implementing.
Yeah, you can't just show up in August and say we're giving you an entire playbook. There will be an emphasis on fundamentals. I think every coach does that. There will be days that are pretty much all fundamental days, but you will absolutely see implementation. Now, they won't be game planning for your season opener, but yeah, I mean, you're very clearly going to implement stuff. This is when you do it. You do it during spring. So, 100%, you will see an implementation of everything.
Captain Maroney asks, who do you expect to be the secondary versus primary leaders on the team?
That question's tough. Because it's hard. You know, and I know the rest of the question, I took it out of there. It's like sometimes there's a silent leader, but it's tough. I mean, obviously, Noah and T-Mac are the leaders. Josh Baker on the offensive line is probably one of the older guys that you're going to look, you know, as a leadership. You're probably going to look at Conley in the running back room. Like it's usually the older guys, like Dalton Johnson on the defense with Gunner. Guys like that are going to emerge as your leaders. Usually it's just the oldest guys on the team just kind of wind up kind of going in that.
Noah's direction. Just an exception because he's like an old soul. Like he's like
well, Noah and
C-Mac,
I mean, yeah, they're very unique players in that.
Okay, and
we don't even need to ask that. I'm sorry, and Pupak Scout, we already answered that one.
Yeah, we did. Do you think of any of our players enter the portal? Yeah, we did. It's a portal question. We already answered that. Loudon M asks, what type of targets do you see the Brennan staff going after? Part one. Does Arizona's recent success spill over in favor of Brennan staff? Part two. Or will Brennan's staff once again have to start with more overlooked guys before they go fishing for the big ones?
It's probably a little bit of everything. Like, there's guys that the previous coaching staff was doing really well with, and now they're kind of looking at Washington, and maybe Arizona reaches out and is able to gain interest in them again. And there's guys that, you know, maybe weren't as interested, that are interested in the staff. Like, we're seeing guys that I've talked to that are interested in the staff that really were not even talking to the previous staff. And I do think that's a really good question, and one that remains to be seen is, will last year's success, even though it was under a different coaching staff, relate this year? Because usually what happens is people think it's the year that you're successful where it pays dividends. It's not. It's the year after.
It's the year after, yeah.
So it is a very good question, but I would assume that Brendan will say, look, like, we have Noah, we have T-Mac, these are the guys that made us successful, we have this and that, we will be successful. And so I do think that they'll land a pretty good class. And I've also been of the belief that most first-year coaches at any program are able to land a pretty solid class.
Okay, this is a good question coming up. Twin Skeet asks, what do you think will be the biggest surprise for fans and the program moving from the Pac-12 and into the Big 12?
I don't know if there's going to be a surprise. I think people will be excited
re-educated
about the excitement that other fan bases have.
Yeah.
It's going to be very rare that you go play at a Stanford or a Cal and no one is in the stadium. Most games that you play are going to have people in the stadium in the Big 12. I just think that the games will get more national attention. I don't know if there's any surprises. I think people kind of know what to expect. I just think it's going to be, you know, maybe your common fan that doesn't know any better will be surprised at the passion level of Big 12 fans. But overall, it's going to be fun.
I think they're going to be surprised by the passion of the Arizona fans because we're effing crazy.
I don't know, though, because, like, a lot of people on, like, Twitter, for instance, are like, man, we're so pumped. Like, you know, the passion is awesome. So I don't know.
Okay. Well.
We'll see. Reserved, I think, again, your average person,
yes, for the future. And then there was a second part of this question. Where do you see Arizona in the next 3 to 5 years compared to other Big 12 programs and nationally? Get your little magic eight ball out.
Yeah, I like it. I like Brennan. That's really what it comes down to. Like, if you like Brent Brennan, you think Arizona's program is going to be good. And if you don't think Brennan's that good, it's not. There's no reason to me why Arizona shouldn't be one of the best programs in the Big 12 in the next 5 years. And if they are, they're probably going to be a top 25 team most of that time. And yeah. I have confidence in Brennan and the coaching staff that they could get that done.
All right. Pretty simple. There we go. Our buddy Andre Veris asks, what player on either side of the ball who barely saw the field this past season are you most excited to watch in spring ball?
It's it's the same question. Back the A-Ray kind of asked a bigger jump this year, Sua or Speedy. Those are the two guys, right? Like, we'll combine the question. Those are the two guys. Like, I want to see Sua on the defensive end, and I want to see Speedy on the offensive end. Right, like Suo is a guy where Brennan Carroll shouted out towards the end of the season as a guy that was practicing really well. Speedy was shouted out, you know, he's a guy that he's, you know, we assume he came back for a reason. Like, Alonzo Carter likes him, and they added Baxton. You can kind of tell, like, Speedy's and Jordan Washington are going to be the fastbacks, and then you got Chikori, and then you got Conley, and there's a nice mixture. But those are the two guys I think that are the easy answer for everybody, right? Like, I think most people would answer that.
Yeah. There you go. Is this him too?
It's Andre Veris, yeah.
Andre Veris continued. During your Oregon recap pod with Shelby, that's me, you mentioned TJ Fogg and Balo are the guys you personally told it was a pleasure to cover. Who are a couple recent football players, if any, that you have also told that to?
Recent,
in the last 10 years?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
In the last 10 years, Jason, think back.
Man, it's just like, I don't know.
There's so many.
But I don't know if I went up to them and was like, hey, man, like, you were awesome. Like, I enjoyed it. I think what you also people got to realize is, like, the basketball, because there's not a lot of players.
And it's a more intimate
setting. It's a more intimate setting where you feel like you get to know, and also access and all that. So, like, when I said it to TJ and McConnell, for instance, I said it because I saw and talked to TJ in the locker room. And, you know, it was like in the tournament, you get one-on-ones and you sit and you get to know a guy. And in football, it's just at the time, like, it was different. Your access is just different. Limited. Right? I'm trying
Nick?
To... Yeah, but that was so long ago. I mean, like I told Nick Foles, you know, it was an honor or whatever. And Jordan Morgan, I said that it was great to follow him. you know, but I don't know if I've ever been like, hey, I want you to know, like, you know, I'll probably say something to like Dalton Johnson because, you know, awesome kid, great story, stuck around. But I don't know if there's that one football kid that like I can really.
Where there was, it just wasn't like
you knew him. Yeah, like you're not building
a rapport.
That rapport. You're not building that relationship that you have with certain guys. Like you're just not. Like it's, there's like every recruiting class that Arizona lands is like 30 kids and it's 30 kids and you move some of them out and you move some of them in. Basketball is just, it's so more intimate getting to know a kid that like,
they know you.
Right. Like, it's just tough. Like, I know the basketball players on a first name. Like, if they saw me, they'd be like, hey, what up, Shear? Right? I don't know if any football player would say that.
No.
Well, maybe some, but you know
what surge in popularity.
You know what I mean. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different.
It's a good question, though, but it is different because I just don't think the public understands the limited access that the press has to the football players. It's just a lot broader of a pool.
Well, look at like the Pac-12 tournament. I don't know if this is the case, but years ago, like it was an open locker room, right? There's in basketball, coach like Sean Miller. If I wanted to go to practice, I could go to practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew every assistant coach and every, mm-hmm. and I would hang out. And years ago, back when you could do it, I would hang out in the basketball offices,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's different now, and I love the staff, but it's just different.
The rules are different.
The access is different. Times have changed. The NCAA had a lot to do with that.
You can't drive coaches around in your personal car at
right,
a
like,
tournament
I
in
used
Vegas.
To drive Lute Olson around Vegas, and we'd go to tournaments together, right? Like, and walk in together. That day has gone. And so you don't develop the relationships with football and even basketball. Like, I can tell you, like, Umar's my guy, right? But I don't know Umar, you know, like, I know him, but I don't know him on, you know.
Like a friend level. Like, he's not, you know,
right,
buddies.
Like there's been players where it's like,
more of a connection.
Know, and Umar's met the girls. Like, Umar's taken pictures with my mom. Like, you know, and you know, it, not many players have done that. And it's just, it's a different situation.
Yes. But Justin Flo, if you're listening, I will take a picture with you.
Jesus.
Good Lord. We already did that question. Sona Zoo 2004. Will this year's team be better or worse than last year's team?
Honestly, TBD, right?
TBD.
Like, I got to see the whole
magic eight ball.
If Dakario Davis leaves and they don't fill the hole at corner, they're going to be worse. But if they do and they fill it really well, it's going to be good. If they add a line, it's just too early. The roster isn't set till August. Ask me that question in August, and I'll have a much better answer for you.
Okay. And last question of this incredibly long podcast. I'm very proud of us getting through all of this. Hollywood Cat asks a very long double question.
It's basically, I'll just ask it for you. Go ahead.
We have hardly ever fumbled the football of the last few years. Obviously, turnovers don't win football games. Do you think that was a function of the players or the old staff? And can we continue holding on to the ball?
I mean, it's a function of both, right? Like, Scotty Graham never fumbled. Literally, never fumbled. So, obviously,
zero.
I tried to get him once to tell me the secret, and he laughed at me, and he said, there's no way I'll ever tell you. That's a Scotty Graham thing. But at the same time, the players are the ones that don't have, you know, they can't fumble. So, it's both. You know, I'm sure Zoe Carter has a way where his guys don't fumble, but the running back still can't fumble. So, it's not like there's not a secret recipe, and at the end of the day, you can lead a horse to water, but you know, you can't. And so, you know, with Scotty Graham, he was awesome. He clearly had something that worked for him. But you know, if Michael Wiley fumbles, that stuff doesn't matter. And if Scotty Graham doesn't teach him anything and he doesn't fumble, who gets the credit there? So again, love Scotty Graham, and clearly something worked for him, but I mean Zoe Carter could be just as good. I don't know.
So if you haven't guessed the theme of this podcast, even though Jason knows some things, this is the nascent beginning. We don't have all the answers yet, because this team isn't complete. But I know it's been on everyone's mind. I love football too. I've been maybe pushing to have this podcast more than my co-host has been pushing to have this podcast. So hopefully you enjoyed the answers that you were given. Ask us these questions again in August, and you're going to have very different answers. And, you know.
And we'll do spring podcasts, obviously. It's just, it's not starting for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yes. So this will be the football fix for now. But we do have some exciting things coming up. And obviously, Basketball is on the forefront of everyone's mind. Arizona athletics in general is thriving. Congratulations to the gymnastics team for their meet this past Sunday. That was awesome. We do try to give other sports shout outs as well. And on that note, do you have any comments about Vegas or anything you want to continue with?
No, we'll have a preview tomorrow. We'll put it up on Thursday, the UCLA game.
Yep. It's going to be exciting. And until that time, no matter where you are or what you do or what stories the stripper tells you when you're in Vegas, you can always bear down.
Also, one note that's kind of funny. The Pac-12 has rights to the spring football game because technically they're in April and the contract for the Pac-12 network and the existent doesn't run out until May.
Oh.
So they're literally promoting a product that killed themselves off.
It's so Pac-12.
It's awesome.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.